Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the great family of God. Amen. I'm glad that you have made decision to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your Deliverer, your Shepherd, your God, and your friend. It's such a great privilege to come to know Jesus Christ and to become a disciple of our living God. This, I want to really encourage you that this decision is one of the greatest decisions you can make in your life. I made that decision more than 24 years ago, and I have never regretted it. I feel that this is one of the most important decisions that I have made, because this decision have affected you and me right now, right here, and for eternity. Amen. So I really want to congratulate you for being a Christian, or for being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment you have made decision to become a Christian or to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, the Bible says that you will be made a new creation. You are on the journey to be a new person, to be a new creation of God. This is a very exciting journey. And I have already experienced this journey in the past 24 years. And I want to thank God. And many of you who are sitting in this room, I believe you feel the same way, that it's such a privilege to become a child of the living God. Today, I would like to share with all of you the assurance of becoming a Christian. How you can be assured that you have salvation, that you become a child of God. And if you leave this world, you will definitely will live it for eternity in heaven with the living God. You will be with the Almighty God in His glory in heaven for eternity. That after you listen to this sharing, you will never have doubt again that you have been saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. So from now on, you will begin a new intimate relationship with Christ. You have a privilege to call God your Father, Abba Father, Daddy. What is in Japanese? Otosan. What is in Indonesian? Daddy. You remember? You become too westernized now. What is in Chinese?
Papa.
Papa. You can call Dad Papa now. Amen. I call my dad Papa too. So actually tonight I plan to call him. I want to call back to Bangkok to say hi to him. I was thinking a while ago that I should call my Papa. But we also have the real Papa, Otosan, Daddy, in heaven. We have the privilege to call our God our Father. And at the same time, God, the Father in heaven, has the pleasure to call you a son and daughter. Is it great that God call you son? God call you daughter. Amen. Now it's so important that we need to be assured, or we need to have confidence in our salvation and our relationship with God. We need to be assured that the salvation belongs to us, that we are saved, our sins are forgiven, our relationship is real, it's not just a dream, it's not just a fairy tale. Therefore, we need to understand what God says in the Bible, in His Word. First of all, in order to understand that we are saved for sure after we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to emphasize in this lesson, in this sharing time, that God really, really, really loves you and me and people in the whole world. Our confidence in salvation is based on His character and His heart of love toward all of us. God never lies. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son," mean Jesus, "into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him," mean through Jesus. Here, we read the scripture. We need to really believe, and we need to really get a hold of. We need to really understand that God loves us so much. You see? God loves us so much. So every time you begin to have doubt whether you have salvation or not, or whether you will go to heaven or not, or whether your sins are forgiven or not, you need to remind yourself from the Word of God that God so loved the world. God loved you and me. God loved His children even before they knew Him. John chapter 1 verse 12, the scriptures say, "Yet to all who receive Him," mean receive Jesus, "and to all who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." Are you glad that you are a child of God? What is the condition to become a child of God? Very simple. Is to believe in Jesus. You believe that He is the Son of the living God. He is your Savior. He died for you. He paid the price of sin for you. And not only you believe, but you receive, you invite Jesus to come into your life. And at that moment that you believe and receive Jesus, you become a child of God. And that is based on His love. It's not based on what you have done or what you will do. He received you. You receive Him, and then He received you because He loved you. Amen. Isn't it amazing? Every time I think about why Jesus died for me, I am very, very amazed. Because by our nature, we tend to do good only to those who do good to us. Is that right? It's very unnatural to us to do good to those who hurt our feeling or who are our enemies. But look at what the Bible says. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. "But God demonstrates His own love." Everyone say love.
Love.
Love. God demonstrates His own love for us in this. Why we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even before you came to know God, you were sinners. Is that right? You were enemies of God. You were against God, but still Christ died for you. How much God loves us. God loves us so much that while we were denying God, rejecting God, running away from God, we did not care about God's feeling, but He still loves us. The sweetness of His love is unfathomable, is unbelievable. And that's why we call this love the good news. The good news is this. Why you are still sinner? Christ died for you. He loved you. Therefore, after you understand this heart of God, the heart of love, you should not doubt your salvation anymore. How can you doubt your salvation? Every time you look at the cross, that the Son of the Living God died on the cross, even though He was without sin. He did not have to die. You need to understand that. He did not have to die, but He died. Every time you look at Jesus' death on the cross, you know for sure that you are saved. Because He died for your sin. Amen? So, every time we doubt God's love, we are telling Him that He is lying. And we are slandering His sweet love. Every time we doubt our salvation, we are trying to tell Him that, God, the death of Jesus Christ is meaningless to me. I don't care. Is that right? I want to encourage you that your salvation, your ticket to heaven, your relationship with God does not come by what you do. It comes by what Jesus have done. It's come by grace. God has done His part to save us from sin, but we receive it through faith. Faith is the hand to receive the grace of God. God's grace. God has done good things for us, even though we don't deserve. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works. Everyone say, not by works. So that no one can boast. Our job is very simple. If we want to continue in our salvation, is to believe God that He loves us. Is it simple? You believe that God loved you, sent His Son to live and die for you, and He was raised from the dead, and He paid for your sin. So the first thing that we need to do to have assurance of salvation is to believe that God loved us and He died for us. This is the good news. Amen. You remember on the cross what the Lord Jesus said. In fact, I have to admit that one of the reasons that I became a Christian because of this statement that Jesus mentioned on that cross of Calvary. He said like this in Luke chapter 23 verse 34. Father, forgive them for they do not know what they are doing. What a statement. They hanged Him on the cross, but He said, forgive them for they do not know what they're doing. I identify with that scripture right away that all these years of my life, since I was born and growing up, I cursed God, I rejected God, I denied God, I hated Christianity, I did not like church, I looked down on missionaries in Thailand, but still God forgive me, and He think this way toward me, He forgive me because I don't know what I'm doing. In fact, as a pastor, I have been pastor since 1982. How many years now? 23 years. I've been a pastor for 23 years. I look back in my life. I admit that I have done so many things wrong in the church. Not because I have a bad attitude, but just because I did not know. Because I did not know the Bible enough. So I make mistakes. But thank God, He still used an imperfect man like me and you to serve Him as a pastor, as a care group leader, as a, you know, singer in a choir, as a, you know, archer, whatever. You know, God used you, but He forgive you because you don't know what you're doing. Sometimes you make mistakes. Amen? This is a God that we worship and we serve. The God that loves us so much. Through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6 verse 23. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. We are sinners. We deserve death. We deserve punishment. But Christ died for us. That's why Christians say, "Hallelujah." We thank God, we praise God, because our sins are forgiven through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, you should be excited about this, that you don't have to go to hell. And you don't need to live in bondage, in curses, in sickness any longer. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins and to heal our sickness and to break the curses in our life. Look at what Paul say in Ephesians chapter 3 verses 17 to 19. Paul pray for the Ephesian church this way. Look at this. I read to you. "Being rooted and established in love." Everyone say in love.
In love.
Whose love? God's love. Is that right? "We root ourselves in the love of God. May have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge." Paul prayed that we as Christians should really understand how deep, how wide, how high, how great the love of God for all of us. And if we can remind ourselves every single day that God loved me and God died for me, you will not have doubt of your salvation any longer. You will have confidence and great comfort, the supreme comfort from God, that God loves you. Nothing, I want to tell you right now, nothing can separate you from the love of God. No demons, no man. I want to encourage you one thing. Don't ever, never, ever put your eyes on any human being. Amen. If you put your trust, your hope, your salvation on the basis of the action, on the behavior of a human being, like your care group leader, your pastor, your pastor's wife, an evangelist, you will be disappointed. Because there is no perfect human being in the world. There is no perfect pastor. I'm not perfect either. Your focus, your eyes should be only on the cross, on Jesus. I have made this decision many years ago, that it doesn't matter what other people do. I'm going to continue to love Jesus because he loved me first. It doesn't matter what other people do and have done and will do. I will continue to honor my God. I will continue to love my God. I will continue to believe that nothing shall separate me from the love of God. I will continue to serve God no matter what I do. Amen. I have to admit that as a pastor and as a human being, I have been hurt so many times in my life by people whom I love so much. You know, I and Pastor Da love people so much that we pour out our life for them. And we have been disappointed and hurt by so many people. And every time that memory comes back, it's very hard to me because I'm a human being. But I tell you, those people that hurt me will never stop me from going after the will and the purpose of God and for the love of God. Because my eyes focus on the cross. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, "For I am convinced." Everyone say, convinced. Are you convinced? "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How do you know that God loves us? What is the evidence? What is the most clearest and undeniable evidence that God loves us? Who is in what? In who? In Christ. Every time you look at Jesus Christ, who died for you and me, you know that Christ, do you know that God, the living God who created you and me, really, really loves us. Amen? You can have confidence that your salvation is secure, for sure, as long as you follow Jesus Christ. He has loved us. He is loving us. And He will always love us no matter what happened around us. Amen? Let us say at the same time, I will never, ever, and ever put my trust, my hope, and my eyes on any man or any woman. But my eyes will be upon the Lord. And nothing in this world and throughout the creation shall separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I want to encourage you that your eternal life has already started now. Eternal life is not only happening in heaven. You already start a new life. Amen? Eternal life. You have entered into a new dimension of life, filled with new meaning and new purpose of life. When you find Jesus Christ, life finds you. Let me repeat one more time. When you find Jesus, eternal life and abundant life finds you. You are entering into a newness of life. Amen? You remember Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He said, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Man can only reproduce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven. So only the Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit because you received Jesus into your life. And that's the reason why I and we and our church loves what? The move of the Spirit. The more the Holy Spirit touches you, the more the Holy Spirit fills you, the more the Holy Spirit come and imparts life into you, you have a greater dimension of life. Amen? If you ask me, how many times should I be prayed for and lay hand on to give, to receive the Holy Spirit? My answer is unlimited amount of laying on of hand. Unlimited amount of being touched by God, by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is the one who brings life to you. Yes, when you invited Jesus Christ into your heart, that is the beginning of your journey. Your journey into a promised land. But as you are walking in that journey, the Holy Spirit is imparting, is injecting, is marinating you with the life of God. Amen? That's why we need to welcome the Holy Spirit. How many people understand about a pregnant woman? A pregnant woman has a baby on the inside of her. A full life is in the inside. But that fetus or that baby, we call fetus in the medical language, the fetus has a full potential of life. But the fetus has no knowledge about the world yet, has no contact with the world. The same thing. Before we were born again, we have no contact with God. We don't understand the spiritual world of God. But after we are born again, we receive the Holy Spirit into our life, we invite Jesus into our life. Then we begin a new life that have contact with God and contact with the spiritual world. You agree with me that some of you already have experienced the contact with the spiritual world now. Especially in our church, that Holy Spirit is moving. We have the spiritual contact a few weeks ago in Bangkok. I was touched by the glory of God. I tell you what an experience when the Holy Spirit was all over you. Now I understand the song. I got it in my hand, I got in my mouth, I got in my talk, I got in my walk. That's how I feel. I feel the anointing. It means the anointing. Oh, the anointing was all over me. I encounter the spiritual world. The God of the universe has come down to touch me, to touch my body. And I was so overwhelmed by the presence of God. Amen. What a blessing. What a privilege that we can have. Before birth, a baby cannot see. Is that right? The baby eyes still closed in the womb. The eyesight was in dormant. But when the baby comes out from the womb, the baby opened the eyes and can see. Is that right? The same thing. Before we were born again, our spiritual eyes were shut down or covered by the veil of our sins and of demonic power. But after we were born again, God opened our spiritual eyes to see the things of God. Do you have that experience? Amen? If you do, can you say amen? Amen. Yes. Your spiritual eyes can see things that you don't see before. I give you example. Before I became a Christian, I lied a lot. You may not know me before Pastor Lau was born again. I was a very cunning man. Do you know that? I was very cunning. I lied a lot. I would just say wrong thing in order to get my own benefit. But after God's Spirit came into my life, my spiritual eyes was open and I began to see that lying is a sin. And I stopped being cunning. I stopped cheating and taking advantage of people. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, before you were born again, you did not have the Holy Spirit, so you could not understand or see the things of God. But now the Holy Spirit gives you the new eyesight, new spiritual eyes, that you can see the things of God. Amen? You agree with me? Amen. That you begin to see the things of God, the heart of God. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 18 to 20. This is the prayer of Paul for the church. I pray also that the eyes of your heart, you know that you have the eyes of the Spirit, your heart being your spirit. You have the physical eyes and you have the spiritual eyes. Your spiritual eyes are opened by the Spirit of God, that the eyes of your heart or your spirit may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. Brother and sister, if you know that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is inside you right now, if your spiritual eyes can see that, you can command the sickness to go away from your body. I did that all the time. Because God's Spirit enlightened my spiritual eyes to understand that I have that power inside me. You know what I mean? I have that power to command the situation in my life. I want to encourage you to get the CD called Ruling and Reigning as Kings. I was preaching this sermon last Thursday. And you will really be blessed by this CD. Amen. So everyone say, my eyes are opened by the Spirit of God. Amen. Before a baby was born, his ears cannot hear. But after the baby comes out from the womb, the baby can hear. Is that right? The same thing after you were born again. God opened your spiritual ears so that He can communicate with you and talk to you. John chapter 10 verse 27. The sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice. And I know them and they followed me. I read from Amplified Bible. So you can hear the voice of God. I want to encourage you to learn to hear the voice of God. I come to the point of my life right now that, in fact, I don't want to say anything or do anything if God doesn't tell me to do and say. If you become more mature, you will talk less and you will do less unnecessary thing. You only do what God tell you to do, and you will say only what God want you to say. Amen. You need to listen. You need to open your ears to hear the voice of God. You notice that the Bible did not say like this. I read to you in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the Bible that you hold in your hand. Is that right? No. The Bible say, God say like this. Now it shall come to pass. This is Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. So in other words, God tried to say, you need to hear the voice of God. Because the Spirit of God wants to speak to you. You know, there are two kind of words that come from God. One is logo, the word that come in the Bible, written word of God, that we need to study, we need to know as a boundary, so that we can judge or we can discern that the voice that we hear in our spirit is from God or from demon or from yourself. Because the voice of the Spirit will never contradict the word or the logo. But you need to daily listen to the Rhema, R-H-E-M-A, the voice of the Spirit inside you. For example, if the voice of the Spirit say that this is not the man you should marry to, don't step in. Don't try. You're going to be in trouble. Listen to God everything you do. Amen. God is your shepherd. Even though He may look so handsome, with beautiful nose, beautiful eyes, blue eye, rich. But if God said this is not your husband, don't try. Don't marry a woman if God doesn't say that this is your wife. Amen. You need to listen to the voice of God. And you can differentiate the voice by putting it in front of the Bible to see that voice is biblical or not. Amen? Very simple. So let's say at the same time, my ears are open by the Spirit of God. I can hear the voice of my shepherd. And his name is Jesus. Before a baby was born, the baby could not speak. You never heard when a doctor do ultrasound on the mother uterus. You never heard the baby speak. You only heard the heartbeat. Is that right? Boop, 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 boop. The heartbeat of the baby is pretty fast. Actually, it's about more than 120 beats per minute. So a baby has the mouth to potentially speak, but the baby could not speak in the womb. But once the baby was born, the baby could speak. The same thing like us. We cannot talk to God until we are born again. Amen. After you are born again, you can speak to God. And the Spirit of God will give you word for you to say. You need to talk to God. You need to share with God your sincere heart feeling. You need to share to God with honest feeling in your heart. Don't come to God like just like a pretending, oh God, I feel good. You notice in the society sometimes people ask you, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. But actually inside you, no, I'm not fine actually. That is a human nature. You know, we have the culture here that we always say, I'm fine. You notice that? But you cannot approach God that way. When you talk to God, you need to be very honest with him. God, I'm not fine. Actually, I need your help. Please help me. You know what I mean? So we need to be honest to God. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19, verses 37 to 39. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. You know, when we see miracles, we should praise God and shout hallelujah. Praise God. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciple. In other words, they're too loud. You know, when you go to church and people are so excited about God and shout loudly hallelujah, some people may say, Jesus, rebuke them. Look at what Jesus replied. I tell you, Jesus replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. You must use your mouth to praise God. You must use your mouth to rejoice and laugh in the presence of God. You must use your mouth to speak the oracle of God. You must use your mouth to speak the word of God. You must use your mouth to speak the word of faith. You must use your mouth to proclaim the things of God, to proclaim the promise of God in your life, to speak blessing upon people's life, not curses. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen? You use your mouth to speak what God's Spirit wants to say. Not only that, the baby, even though the baby has lungs, the baby cannot breathe inside the womb. Do you notice that I'm a doctor, so I understand. When I was an intern, I deliver about 20 babies come out from the womb. And the first thing the doctor or the nurse would do to the baby is to slap on the baby buttocks to make the baby cry. Why you make the baby cry first? So that the lung will expand. So when the baby cry, it will exhale and inhale the air. So the baby begin to breathe and the lung will expand and the body will get rid of the water in the lung very fast and fill with air. Amen. So the same thing. After you are born again, God will breathe on you the breath of life. That is the Spirit. The Bible says in John chapter 3 verse 8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. The Spirit is compared to the wind. So God breathed the wind of God or the Spirit of God upon your life. Now you can breathe. You can talk to God. You can connect to God. You can be like an eagle and mount up your wing and soar with the wind of God. You can be led by the Spirit of God. You can breathe. Mean that you can have life. You can be filled with the power and the breath of life of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you can breathe now. You have life. Breathing is a sign of life. If somebody stops breathing for 5 minutes, he dies. Are you still breathing? I believe you're still breathing because you're not dead people here. Amen. So, I want to encourage all of you to have confidence in salvation. In the next session, I would like to continue what happened after you are born again. So that you know, and you know, and you know, and you know for sure that salvation belongs to you. You are saved. You are set free from bondage. You are set free from sin. You are set free from demonic power and darkness. You have victory. You are more than conquerors. God always gives you triumph. And your name is recorded in the book of life. If you die today, you will definitely be in heaven in the glory of God forever and ever and ever. You can be confident of your salvation. I will come back next time in the second session regarding your salvation, your confidence or assurance of salvation. And I pray that this teaching will be a blessing to you for eternity. Please love Jesus with all your heart. Serve Him and make friendship with Him from today on. May God bless you. And may God always be close to you as you draw near to God. I love you so much, and I pray that you will all grow and change from glory to glory to become more like Christ. And God will use you mightily in the near future. I love you. God bless you. Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.